another possible airline merger.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Australia's largest airline, Qantas, has received a takeover offer from two investment firms. Macquarie Bank, based in Australia, and Texas Pacific Group have submitted a bid of $8.5 billion. Nicholas Ioannidis with Air Transport Intelligence says there are a number of issues to resolve.
There's lots of hurdles on the financial front. Qantas is not allowed to be more than 25% owned by any single shareholder. So you've got to, in theory, have at least four shareholders in Qantas. And foreign involvement cannot be more than 49.9%. So clearly lots of hurdles still to cross.
The news on Qantas follows last week's takeover offer for Delta Airlines by U.S. Airways, an offer Delta has rejected. But this morning, the Wall Street Journal says some Delta Airlines bondholders have begun organizing an informal group in support of the deal. The report says that could help the bid overcome initial opposition from Delta's management and skepticism from some of its larger creditors. Aluminum producer Alcoa has announced some major changes. The company will cut 6,700 jobs as part of a restructuring program to increase profits. Alcoa is planning to move away from the soft alloy business. The plant closings and consolidations are expected to save the company about $125 million a year. Investors on Wall Street like the move. Alcoa's shares rose 72 cents. The battle to take over the London Stock Exchange is heating up. On Monday, the Nasdaq launched its $5.1 billion bid. Now it's emerged that the American corporate raider Samuel Heyman has entered the fray. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Heyman has bought almost 9% of the stock in the London Exchange. That makes him the company's second largest investor after Nasdaq. Heyman made his name and his millions in the 1980s. Along with the junk bond king Michael Milken, he staged raids on undervalued companies. He clearly thinks that the London Stock Exchange falls into that category. James McIntosh of the Financial Times points out that Heyman paid a higher price for his shares than Nasdaq's final offer.
He obviously believes that supposed final offer will be raised, that there will be a deal at a higher price.
And he's not the only one. Speculative investors like him are now reckoned to hold more than 50% of the London Exchange. They will decide whether Nasdaq or some other bidder wins the day. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
If today is your getaway day for a Thanksgiving holiday, you'll have lots of company. AAA says 38.3 million Americans will travel at least 50 miles from home. That's almost a 3% increase from last year. Now, here's the really bad news if you're driving. Most of that increase, it'll be on the road. Speaking of driving, oil prices dipped slightly today as traders wait for the weekly U.S. oil inventory report. Light crude fell 18 cents to $59.99. Now, yesterday, oil prices edged up a bit, but investors held steady. Google had a record day at $500 a share for the first time ever. The Dow rose 5 points to 12,321. The Nasdaq ticked up 2 points to 2,454. And the S&P also rose 2 points. It's at 1,402. And this is Marketplace. When it comes to economic and gender equality, the U.S. ranks 22nd out of 155 nations. That word from the Geneva-based World Economic Forum. Steve Tripoli has a story.
Here's the U.S. report card from the study's co-author, Saadia Zahidi.
It does extremely well in terms of health and education, but it's held back mainly because of its scores on political empowerment and on economic participation and opportunity.
The specific economic problems are a 37th place finish in wage inequality and 31st place in overall income. The political problem is a lack of women in high office, good for 66th place.
Our report does provide evidence for the fact that the glass ceiling continues to hold back women.
If you're wondering who's on top, well, it's nice to be Nordic. The top four slots all went to Scandinavian countries. But even first place Sweden has only 81% of its gender gap closed. I'm Steve Tripoli for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management's Building Profit Through Building People, a new book on HR contributions to business success. SHRM.org.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. $12 billion. That's how much money the online gambling industry made last year. Half of that came from U.S. residents. Since the ban against online gambling here, internet casino companies have been forced to look elsewhere, like Europe and Asia. Internet betting is still pretty new in Asia, but there's one country that's staking its bets on the industry. Miranda Kennedy says the Philippines have rolled out the welcome mat for online gambling companies.
Online casino companies have flocked to the capital, Manila, in the last year. Internet gambling firms have already nearly filled up a whole office tower in downtown. It makes for a very strange use of office space, as I find out when Wilson Choi shows me around the internet gambling studio of King World Casino.
So they're dealing the card right now. Let me show you.
It's a plush carpeted room full of casino tables. At each table, there's a woman in her 20s facing a couple cameras with a TV tuned to a Chinese station behind her.
So in order for them not to have doubt in everything, we have put on TV.
Oh, really? So this is just to prove that it's not rigged?
Yeah.
Every 30 seconds, while some women deal out cards for games like poker and baccarat, other women roll dice on an automated machine. It's only 10:30 in the morning, but already more than 6,000 gamblers in China, Hong Kong, and Taiwan are making bets on King World's website.
That's very repetitive. I know, sit there and start taking bets again.
Yeah, and smiling.
You have to be good at smiling for this job.
Choi says appearance is the most important factor when he's hiring because he believes losing bettors won't get as mad if they see a pretty face. The women earn about $300 a month, which is a lot higher than minimum wage in the Philippines. Renee Nunez with the Filipino Licensing Authority says the government saw the potential for employment and tax revenue, so it started issuing licenses for Asian gambling. It's the only country in Asia that does.
Maybe we're just ahead of them. Maybe we're just ahead of everyone else in thinking that this would be a good entry point into that kind of industry.
So far, the Philippines only has a sliver of the world market. That's because outside of Korea and Japan, few Asians have broadband internet. There's also no culture of making e-payments, so a lot of people are skeptical they'll actually get their winnings. But Jason Chan, a gambling industry expert in Macau, says Asians have always been big bettors. He's certain that online casinos will take off.
It's all changed since Philippines took the first step. So since Philippines took the first step issuing gambling license, it changed the attitude of internet gambling to other countries.
Chan predicts other Asian countries will legalize online betting in the next couple years, and that may bring some relief to companies reeling from the U.S. crackdown on internet gambling. Since the ban, Chan has had dozens of inquiries from operators looking to Asia for a new home and new gamblers. In Manila, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
A pre-made pie crust in a can.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.